pests and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon 222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Mercury elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Mercury purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the...
Focus the attention of the American people overseas as they use the military and financial power of the United States to bring about the world government, which has been the objective of the mystery religions since the dawn of civilization. And of course, if you go into the background of the funding of communism, whether it be immediately after the Russian Revolution or after the Second World War, or after the so-called fall of Russia in 1992, or what's going on in communist China today, you'll find out that the United States is funding communist China. We're doing everything we can to build up their military potential, which really doesn't make any sense. Unless you understand, we're preparing for the next world war. Why would anybody want another world war? Well, the American people still value their freedom. And the only way you're going to get them and the rest of the world to give up their freedom is to have such a horrible war that everybody will say, well, we're just going to have this world government. There's just no other solution. We could never go through that again. And there were many people who felt that way after the First World War in Europe, a totally senseless war where men were sent in wave after wave against machine guns and mowed down, and 8 million soldiers died, 12 million civilians died. Europe was ready to give up their freedom in 1918, and of course that was to be the League of Nations. But when the United States really hadn't been hurt that badly by the war, and the American people did not want to give up their sovereignty, why then, of course, we ensured there was going to be a Second World War, and that's when Great Britain and the United States began building up Adolf Hitler. And you really need, of course, to read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And then, of course, Wall Street and the rise of Hitler by Anthony Sutton. And, of course, Trading with the Enemy by Charles Hingham, to find out that the United States actively financed communism both before, I mean, should say, the Nazis, both before and after the Second World War. It's the same old game, the best enemies money could buy. If you haven't seen, certainly my interview with Professor Sutton, we have it on DVD. It was done shortly before he died. Not the best photography, but a very, very important bit of history. The best enemies money could buy, the DVD, or the book that he wrote by the same title, available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And we'll be back in just a moment. We have Brad Dacus on the line right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Brad Dacus on the line. Brad, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just great, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, Brad is, of course, for the Pacific Justice Foundation. He's on the front lines of the legal battle. He's the lawyer, and he's gotten a number of other Christian lawyers, moral people who are concerned about what's going on to help him. And they do a great job of defending Christians or institutions or organizations, Christian organizations, that come under attack because of their Christian beliefs and moral beliefs. So tell us what's going on in California. What's happened as far as this effort to force homeschoolers to actually put their children into public schools or go back home and or go back to school and get a certificate in teaching?
Well, I tell you, Dr. Stanley, as you know, this has been a real outrageous act of on the part of this three-judge panel court. We at Pacific Justice are representing the homeschool, the private school homeschool program that was struck down as illegal. We at Pacific Justice are the ones actually representing them. And as you know, the three-judge panel ruled that all homeschooling was illegal. And then we at Pacific Justice, along with some others, filed a motion for reconsideration. The judge decided to go ahead and grant that. The three judges decided to grant that motion and vacated it in the process. They vacated their earlier decision. So the earlier decision is no longer binding, which is really good. The bad news is it looks like they're hitting the core issues by asking a couple of questions that really raise our red flags.
All right, what sort of questions are they raising here? Because obviously, what's wrong with homeschooling? I mean, it should be up to the parents to determine the type of education the kids get. God gave children to the parents, not to the state. And, of course, the judges represent the state, and they want to control the reality of the children. That's what education is about. And, of course, they don't want the children brought up in the ways of the Lord. So, basically, tell us what are the questions that are being raised now.
Well, the two main questions that we're looking at, the first is whether or not parents have a fundamental right to homeschool their children, whether that's included as a part of the parents' right over the education upbringing of their children. As you know, the Supreme Court, on more than one occasion in the past, has clearly held that parents have a fundamental right over the education and upbringing of their children. So the question the court's asking is whether or not that right includes their right to homeschool. In a way, on one program I said, if it doesn't include the right to homeschool, then they really have no right over their children's education.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Dacus. And we have he is from the Pacific Justice Foundation. He is actually, of course, working with the families here in California. They were held actually against by a panel of three judges who said that the parents had to have a degree in education before they could homeschool. Well, apparently Brad has actually challenged that, and the appeals court judges did reverse their position. But now they're asking questions, and that question is basically, do parents have a right to determine the education of their children, or certainly does the state have the responsibility? And that is the major issue. Do the children belong to the state? Do the children belong to the parents? And so where do we stand on that issue, Brad?
Well, of course, we at the Pacific Justice Institute are very committed to the proposition that this that parents have this right. And so consequently, we're going to be filing a brief. We encourage other groups to file briefs as well to support this point. And we're hopeful that this appellate court will do the right thing and rule correctly. But we have very low expectations because of the fact that they're choosing to hit these issues head on, and they made their positions very clear earlier. It's going to be very challenging, so we're really putting a lot of time and effort into responding to this particular question.
Well, now, of course, are there other organizations that are working with you and helping you and going to be filing parallel petitions?
Oh, yes. We at Pacific Justice Institute have been working with other groups and HSLDA and others, wonderful organizations, to make sure that we're on the same page and that this is argued correctly. And one nice thing that we have that the judge has granted us, because we are representing the actual homeschool program that was struck down, is that we have the ability to respond to any briefs or any motions that are filed with the court on this matter. So that's going to give us a lot of pull with regards to making sure that the proper issues are addressed correctly.
Well, I know certainly in many instances people pretend to be, lawyers will pretend to be on the right side of the program, and then they'll argue it in the wrong way intentionally to lose. And we've seen this over and over again with the federal government, which has an agenda, but of course they can't let the people, so they have to know what they're doing, and so they pretend that they're on one side where they put in an argument that is totally untenable, and they lose the case, and oh shucks, just isn't that too bad, but that was exactly what was intended. So you will actually be the major driving force behind this, and you can coordinate or at least comment on all the other briefs that are submitted.
That's right, and we're working with others who are going to be filing briefs as well. There's a married couple involved that also has independent attorneys, the mother and the father, and we're working with them as well. So and that's very important. Now the second question that is brought by this court that is requested for address, the two main ones that we're looking at. The second one is whether or not homeschooling in California is protected by statute, and specifically whether or not parents can file their own private school affidavit and homeschool under their own private school affidavit. And that's how most homeschoolers homeschool in California presently. So that is a huge issue, and we're looking at about a couple hundred thousand kids in California who are homeschooled that will be directly impacted by the answer to that question alone.
Well, of course, if you have to go to the state to apply, then you really don't have the right, of course, to do anything on your own. If you have to go to the state to get permission to homeschool, the state's certainly going to make it very difficult for parents, I think.
Well, that's right, and that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute are arguing, and have argued, that California law has real clear the requirements of what is a private school, and those requirements allow for individual families to file their own private school affidavit and function as a private school. The law is the law. It is what it is, and there's no requirement that some of the kids in the class have to be non-related, or that it be in a certain kind of building, or there be a certain number of kids in the private school. So we hope that the court will do the responsible thing and rule in parents' favor in this regard.
Well, now, of course, is this going then to the appellate court? Will it go to the Supreme Court? At what level will it be argued?
That's a good question, Dr. Stan. This is going to be argued at the Second Appellate District Court in California. It's the same three-judge panel that earlier had ruled that homeschooling was illegal. So, and it was 3-0. It wasn't even a 2-1 decision. So we're sort of starting a little handicap by having three judges rehear this case who clearly ruled against the rights of parents. That said, if they come down with an adverse decision in this case, then we will be among those who will be filing an appeal before the state Supreme Court, asking them to reverse that decision. If the state Supreme Court comes down with an adverse decision or fails to provide us the writ that we would be requesting, then We would then have to file a petition for cert to petition for certiorari to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I do not want to have to go down that alley, because that can be a long shot at times.
All right, you could open a whole can of worms that you really don't want to open. Well, I think
that's
it's.
Right. That's right, and I was just going to say that, and if it is heard by the U.S. Supreme Court, then the result will not only impact California, but it'll impact the rest of the country as well.
Well, now, of course, it would sound to me as if these three judges, having reversed their previous decision, must see a certain amount of wisdom in your arguments, or they got an awful lot of flack from people all across the country, and they figured they'd better back down. People might not really trust the judges anymore.
Yeah, and one nice thing about California is, in California, our appellate court judges are held accountable to the voters. So, and this has had a major uproar in California. So I'd like to think there's a little bit of public accountability that's causing them to give this the attention and reconsideration it deserves.
Well, of course, you understand how the game is played far better than I do, Brad. All right, fine. Well, of course, this is a very important issue, and I'm so glad you're on the front lines of it. For our listeners out there, I've known Brad for, I suppose, close to 10 years. He's doing a wonderful job. And I remember when he worked for what was it, Whitehead or White, anyway, what was that other organization he worked for?
Oh, yeah, Rutherford. And,
Rutherford Institute,
and
right.
Almost 11 years ago, we began the Pacific Justice Institute here on the West Coast after they'd closed down their Western Regional office.
Well, I could have said, I've known you a lot more than 10 years. If it was 11 years ago, they closed you down, because I remember when you used to work for the Rutherford Institute. Brad is certainly on the front lines of this, doing a great job, and we support him, Barbara and I do, because we believe in what he's doing, and that's why we like to get him on here from time to time. He's been down as a speaker at our conferences. Always a pleasure to have him. Well, what are some of the other issues that you're hitting at the present time and working on?
Well, another case that we're hitting on right now is, of course, the In God We Trust litigation. For many people who aren't aware, Michael Newdow filed a lawsuit challenging In God We Trust, our national motto, being on our U.S. currency, you know, coins and dollars and stuff. And we went ahead and, moved and intervened in the case to represent people of faith who see this as an overt affront and hostility to people of faith. The court allowed us to intervene. And it went on appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals after an unfavorable decision in the lower court. And as it turns out, after a favorable decision in the lower court, the court granted our motion to dismiss. And now it's on appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And Kevin Snyder, our chief counsel, did an absolutely fantastic job arguing that case before the Ninth Circuit. Two of the three judges were liberal judges. You know, we thought we're going to be hostile toward this. One of them was Reinhart, the infamous Reinhart, who ruled in the past that the Pledge of Allegiance was unconstitutional because it had the phrase "One Nation Under God." So, and he was the head of that three-judge panel. But after Kevin Snyder, our chief counsel, made his oral argument, we think that we may have persuaded the other liberal judge to decide our way. We think we may have a 2-1 upset. Before everything's said and done, and we'll hopefully find out about that decision in the not-too-distant future.
Well, now, who's putting up the money? Because, you know, certainly you are funded by the Pacific Justice Institute and by the good people who support you. Who's funding the fellow who wants to take In God We Trust off our money? Somebody's got to be putting up big bucks for that.
You're probably right. And Michael Newdow, mind you, he is an attorney and a doctor, both, and he's handling the case on his own. He's arguing the case, preparing the case. I'm sure there's some behind the scenes that may be working with him, but he's handling it himself. And I have to admit, he did a. I told him afterwards. I said, Michael, you did an excellent job arguing your points. And if you change your attitude and philosophy someday, maybe we'd love to have you with Pacific Justice. But until then, we'll have to hold off. And he's an excellent litigator. He's a very sharp arguer, and we're just hopeful that in the end of the day, though, that truth and case law and the Constitution will win. And despite his is an eloquent argument.
Well, of course, you know, certainly the Supreme Court opens their hearings every day. When the crier comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. Well, I mean, how can you take God out of our phraseology when even the Supreme Court opens with those phrases? That certainly above where the Supreme Court justices sit, there's the inscription there from the Ten Commandments on the door that enters into the chamber, on the front of the building. I mean, certainly our law was based upon God and the Ten Commandments. So how does Michael actually counter that and those arguments?
Well, he doesn't acknowledge the legitimacy of those other acknowledgments of God.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute on the front lines of the legal battle for America. Well, go right ahead, Brad. You say that that Michael doesn't actually acknowledge any of these arguments. He doesn't acknowledge what's there inscribed on the front of the Supreme Court building, or on the door of the chamber, or above where the justices sit, or the opening phrase when the crier comes in and opens the court every day with the words, "God save the United States and this honorable court." I mean, does he totally ignore the traditions, the Christian traditions of America? Does he have that much of hatred of God?
Yeah, he really does, and he doesn't acknowledge the legitimacy of any of that. And if he had his way, he would have all that eliminated. This isn't a case he brought based on a technicality. This is a deep philosophy that he has that our government should be required to be totally sterile of any acknowledgement of God or our posterity, our history, and a formation as a nation that was formed through the acknowledgement of God. Maybe people out there may not know this, but like the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, the whole concept of fundamental rights are all premised clearly in writing on the laws of nature, nature's God, and the existence of our Creator who endowed us with our rights. So it's a matter of history, it's a matter of fact that should be preserved for our posterity. Whether or not people like Michael Newdow like that or not, that's too bad. It's truth, it's fact, and that should be preserved.
And of course, the thing is that liberty is based upon virtue. Virtue is based upon Christianity. You destroy Christianity, you destroy virtue, you destroy liberty. And as John Adams had said so well, our system of government was made for a moral and religious people who would not work for any other. And there is a conscious effort to destroy the moral foundation of this country, and I know you're on the front lines of that battle every single day, Brad. Are we making progress or are we losing? What do you think?
Well, I'm pretty optimistic about this particular case, the Defense of In God We Trust. I think Michael Newdow's trying to go a bridge too far on this one, despite his eloquent arguing in the court. I think he's going too far, and I think that in the end we'll see a solid precedent, a positive precedent before the U.S. Supreme Court. It's not going to be a unanimous decision because we have a divided Supreme Court, as you know, Dr. Stan. So I see that as a positive. We at Pacific Justice too deal with so many issues, deal with religious freedom, and just recently, let me give you another example, moving on to another case, which I think makes this point. In the workplace, we've seen a lot of hostility towards people of faith, and one gentleman who works for the VA, he sent an email with a positive Christian message to another employee. He was reprimanded and told he couldn't do this, and we went ahead and filed a complaint on his behalf. And I'm pleased to know we just put out our press release today that the fact that we just settled at a positive settlement for him in this matter, and the VA has pledged never to do that again. That's a step in the right direction, and every step is a very precious one for the Pacific Justice Institute.
Mel, I know that you're on the front lines of this battle and doing a great job, Brad, and I know that I and many of the people out here who look over your shoulder at what you're doing appreciate this. And every time the other side can certainly undermine the Christian faith, they will do it. But we have to stand there until hopefully one day there's going to be another great awakening in America, and people are going to once again embrace the faith that really brought liberty to America and separates us from all other nations in the world. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Dacus, and he's with the Pacific Justice Institute. He's on the front lines of the battle. He was just talking about another case that was actually brought having to do with the Veterans Administration. Somebody working for the Veterans Administration sending an email or communication that mentioned God and morality, and how this poor fellow was actually reprimanded by the Veterans Administration. And Brad took the case, and the Veterans Administration was forced to back down and say they would not do that again. And it's almost like this attack on freedom and Christianity never stops. They come back again and again. You defeat them, and they come back again. Do you ever have that feeling, Brad?
Yes, we do. We definitely do. And I just told you about the VA case we just won. We have another case taking place down in San Diego on behalf of a Christian teacher who was fired because as a part of her music program she had two allegedly religious songs. One was in Swahili language, which reflected a very important cultural religious song of the people there, the Swahili tribe down in Africa. And then the other was a Christian song written by Bach, I mean, the famous classical composer. We were representing her, and of one of our star attorneys on staff, Karen Milam, who heads up our Southern California office, is heading up that litigation, and we're just really pleased with the wonderful job she's doing in representing that teacher.
So you actually have offices in both Northern and Southern California now?
That's right. We have a full-time office in Sacramento and another one in Southern California. In fact, before I forget, on April 19th, we're going to be having our big Celebration of Justice Gala event. It's be specifically in recognition of attorneys and others who've civic leaders made a positive difference. And we're going to be giving an exclusive update on our homeschool litigation. The title of the gala is Protecting the Home. And the focus is going to be on the homeschooling case, homeschool litigation. We have Fred Barnes from the Beltway Boys on Fox News is going to be speaking, along with Hugh Hewitt. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And anyone who would like to attend, they just need to contact our office or go to our webpage for more information. We have limited seating, and I encourage people to attend. It's going to be a really nice event at the Hyatt in Irvine.
Well, of course, this program is being heard on stations across the country, but people have to understand that California is the seventh largest economy in the entire world. And as California goes, so goes the nation. And so the things that are happening in California will impact on everybody in the rest of the nation, and, of course, perhaps even in the world. So we are really on the cutting edge of what's going on, and Brad Dacus, our friend, is certainly on the cutting edge of the things that are happening from a moral and religious point of view. And believe me, Christianity is under attack today. Until people understand that there's an organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the Christian faith of our children and of our people, you can't understand so much of what's going on today, or the effort, of course, to put Christians into a defensive position and get them to gradually back down from public proclamation of their faith. Well, what do you have? Do you have some other interesting cases before us at the present time, Brad?
Oh, you bet. And before I forget, those who'd like to keep up with our cases, including the homeschooling litigation, a real easy way to do that is to go to our webpage, which is pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org, and there they can sign up to get immediate bulletin blasts of updates to our press releases on all our cases, including the homeschooling litigation. So that's real important for people to remember. Go to pacificjustice.org. Now, another matter that we're dealing with, about 40% of our cases, Dr. Stan, that we deal with are involving churches just wanting to build, grow, and expand. And the number of curtailment is local government saying, we don't want you. We don't want you here, there, or anywhere. And that's real common. And a recent case that we've taken on in the San Francisco Bay Area is a case involving a church, and they were growing, they're bursting through their scenes. I mean, they were just, traffic was a problem. So they bought this building to move into. and the seller was happy. Everyone was happy. It was a safe building. There was no code required, you know, violations regarding safety or anything like that. Plenty of parking. But the reason that the city of San Leandro gave for not allowing them was because they didn't want to lose tax revenue. And because it's a church, you don't tax the land the churches are on. None of the 50 states do that. And so this town was had the audacity to say, we just don't think you're worth enough for us to give up any tax revenue based on lost property taxes because of your church in that building. So we're not going to let you be there. Of course, if every city in America had that attitude, there would be no churches anywhere in America. Fortunately, most towns don't have that attitude, but San Leandro definitely does have an attitude.
Hold that attitude right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Dacus, Pacific Justice Institute. So, have you actually litigated that case with the San Leandro government, county, city government?
Yeah. We're doing just that. We're representing them. It's taking a lot of our time, to do so. But we are representing them, and in fact, it's just one of the many cases in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's keeping us very preoccupied. We have five other church cases alone there in the San Francisco Bay Area that are very time-consuming. And, in fact, our goal and desire, it would be by the end of this year to have a third full-time office with a full-time attorney right there in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I just love to give Lucifer heartburn by invading his vacation spot.
Well, I think that in many respects why this is a very satanic, very evil area. In fact, we're only about 70 miles from San Francisco. I hope when the hellfire and brimstone comes down on that area, it doesn't come over the hills here into Santa Cruz. But anyway, of course, I think it's so important that you're there and that the churches have somebody to turn to, because so many lawyers really wouldn't even know how to litigate a case like that, would they, Brad?
Yeah, it's very true, Dr. Stan, and in fact, one thing that we've observed this last year is that we've handled over 3,000 requests for assistance, and we don't charge for any of the work for the cases that we handle or take on, and so California in particular keeps us very, very busy. About 80% of our case matters plus are just in California alone. That said, though, we've taken on cases defending a church in Pennsylvania, another one in DuPere, Wisconsin, and Georgia, and other people needing help. So if at any time there's anyone out there in the audience, no matter where they are in the country, and they have a problem dealing with their rights as parents against the government or religious freedom, then they should not hesitate to give us a call and at the very least to try to get some immediate counsel that we don't charge for at all. We do all our work without charge. And we have a network of over 1,000 volunteer affiliate attorneys nationwide. And one of our hallmarks is the fact that we don't just take on cases that are going to look pretty before the media or be necessarily on their way to the Supreme Court. We're not real picky on our case. We just want to make sure everyone gets the help that they need. So if other organizations have turned you down, please give us a call, because there's a good chance that we might be able to help you.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Brad Diggins of the Pacific Justice Institute. Hang on there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brad Diggins of the Pacific Justice Institute. And once again, Brad, I want you to get your website, your telephone number out there, and then, of course, I want you to tell people how they could come to your meeting or gala meeting we're going to have if they're interested.
Oh, you bet. Our website is pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org. They can go there to get an attorney to help them, to get assistance on a legal issue, and also information about our big event on April 19th, our Celebration of Justice event, which is going to be a really spectacular event in Irvine, California, at the Hyatt. But people have to RSVP, and we're going to be giving a closed-door Media Barn exclusive update on our homeschooling litigation at that time. So we encourage homeschoolers in particular to try to attend. We'd love to be, update them on our progress.
And would you like to get your telephone number out so people would know how to contact you by telephone if they need to?
Absolutely. I'll give them our direct line. Our direct line is 916-857-6900. That's area code 916-857-6900. 857-6900. Or you go to our webpage, which is pacificjustice.org.
And of course, Brad cannot take cases that and do not have a religious connotation to them. After all, they'd be just flooded with them. Cases that people wanting free legal advice, but they do help an awful lot of people and at least can point you in the right direction, even if they can't take your case. Now, do you do any of the cases have to do with the child abuse or the child services agencies? I know you can't take these all, but this is just a, this is such a problem in our society as the, these child services agencies get federal money for coming in and destroying a family, for taking the children out of the family, for putting them in foster homes where many times they're sexually abused, and nothing is ever done either to the people, the social workers, or to the foster parents who abuse these children. And the, I'm sure you must hear this story over and over again, don't you, Brad?
We certainly do, and in fact, that's one of another hallmark about the Pacific Justice Institute is we actually provide emergency counsel over the phone to parents who have threats by social workers to take their children or investigate their home or to challenge their homeschooling because, we do all that completely without charge. In fact, if your children have already been taken, then we'll refer them out to a private attorney, and they'll have to work it out, you know, with a private attorney. But if the children have yet to be taken, and they ever have any threats by social workers or the like, they should not hesitate to give us a call at the Pacific Justice Institute so we can provide them immediate emergency counsel and guidance.
And, of course, the thing is that Brad knows who the lawyers are that you may probably would be able to trust. At least if he refers you to a lawyer, it's going to be somebody he knows and is not going to take advantage of you. But believe me, this is such a terrible, terrible problem for so many families. People say, well, that could never happen to me. But don't be certain of that. Certainly we have people working within social services who will target people, especially, of course, people in the lower financial brackets who can't fight back. And they get rewarded by the federal government for destroying families. And you say, that sounds crazy? Well, we live in a world gone mad. There's only a few of us really sane, and everybody accuses of being extremists of one sort or another. Under any circumstances, Brad, Sydney, is there any other cases you'd like to mention at all that you're working with?
Well, yeah, I'd like to mention one example of a CPS case matter we provided counsel to. I can't give in the names or details. That's confidential, but... the parent, the father called me, told me that he was threatened by social workers and that they wanted him and his children to appear in court on a certain day of the week on Wednesday. And he gave me the facts of what was going on and the accusations. I told him, I said, you know what? The odds are they're going to take all your children from you and they're going to try to permanently take them from you to be never to see them again. And he said, oh, I don't think they'll do that. I says, I'm telling you, based on what you've told me, that's what I think they're going to do. And I told him, I said, you know, I can't advise you to leave the country with your children as an attorney. I'm not going to give you that counsel because, that's beyond what I can advise you as an attorney to do. But the reality is they're going to try to take your kids on Wednesday, and they probably will. The sad truth is this father... He went ahead and went to court with the kids on Wednesday, and instead of taking alternative actions, they took his kids, just like I was afraid they would. It took every one of them. And this is a wonderful Christian family, and this is not unusual to happen not only in California but in other states, Washington, Oregon, and Massachusetts, and other parts of the country, to see an abuse of discretion by social workers. And that's something people really need to be aware of. It's a real threat. And, we're hoping, we at Pacific Justice Institute have drafted model legislation to reform and keep in check many of these agencies because in most states, parents at no time are given a jury of their peers. There's no required audio or videotaping of the children's testimony, so it's whatever this liberal social worker says the child says, that's accepted as gospel. And it's always a closed-door session, so it's not even open for public review. You know, at least O.J. Simpson, his trial was open for public review and scrutiny. Parents losing their children do not have that same right. We live in a really it's the greatest civil rights tragedy of our era that we are living in now, and we at Pacific Justice Institute are very resolved to assist any state legislator wishing to reform their state code in this regard.
And really, ladies and gentlemen, the average individual out there has no understanding of how prevalent this is, and once you get caught in this system, you have no rights, and so many families have been destroyed, and in many instances, they've never seen their children again. And people say that couldn't happen in America, but it sure can happen here, can it, Brad?
Oh, it definitely can, and it happens all too often here in the United States.
Well, I think these are some of the problems that we face, and Brad at least is trying to do something, and of course it has to be done by reforming the legislation, and of course the other thing is by cutting off the funds that are coming from Washington, D.C. that are rewarding social workers for destroying Christian families. And Christianity is under attack today, and the forces of darkness are alive and well, working at the highest levels, I believe, of our society today. Well, some of the other things I'd like to bring out, or why don't we open up the lines for questions if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Brad. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, that's 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. Cindy, are there any other issues you'd like to bring before our listeners today, Brad?
Well, we've covered quite a few, we've definitely covered a good number of them. I think an area we really haven't touched on much is dealing with public schools. About 40% of our cases are dealing with public schools. 40% deal with churches, 40% deal with public schools, and those kinds of issues. And a real hot issue that we've seen come to up a number of times now has been students wishing to wear T-shirts that have a Bible verse on them. And we've had a number of students who are suspended from school in the Sacramento area, they wore it on what's called the Day of Silence. That's a day where many liberals and liberal activist teachers push and promote students to support homosexuality and transvestitism and transsexuality throughout our public schools in California. And they do so by encouraging students to be quiet and not to speak and to be silent all day. And some teachers are silent, don't even teach, even though it's in violation of their requirements as teachers to teach. So this goes on. And so what a number of students have done is they said, look, fine, we'll wear T-shirts with the Word of God on it. And they did that. And these students were told that they had to remove their T-shirts or be suspended. And unfortunately, a large number of students were suspended. We at Pacific Justice went to bat for them. We got all of their suspensions removed from their records. But wouldn't you know, we still continue to receive complaints from hostile people in public schools trying to silence these Christian kids, even though they're protected by both the U.S. Constitution as well as the First Amendment, as well as state education code to be able to do so.
But you see, this is frank hostility to Christianity. The thing is that what the First Amendment says is that Congress will make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then they said, well, but that wasn't just Congress, that was the state, so the state couldn't have any law. But this has nothing to do with the state. This is nothing decreed by the state. This is an expression on this part of the students. And, of course, how can they possibly say you don't have a right to express your Christian beliefs, but that's exactly what they're doing. This is an effort to suppress Christianity. This has nothing to do with freedom at all, does it? This is a fascist approach to destroy and intimidate our Christian students so they'll be afraid to speak out. Do you go after any sort of a financial damages when they do these sort of things? Because Certainly, if the schools are not punished, if the teachers are not punished, they're going to continue, of course, trying to oppress and destroy the belief of our children.
Yes, you can be assured that we have learned that one principle of dealing with public schools is that if they feel no pain, then they really don't remember it very well, the lesson that they've supposedly learned. So we try to make sure that there is at least a little bit of pain, that, and then hopefully other school districts will hear about that pain and learn from it as well. The ACLU has a long track record of doing that in very outrageous, abusive ways. We at Pacific Justice are more reasonable, but we nonetheless realize that that's an important principle of keeping them school districts accountable and making sure that they really take it serious, what you're agreeing to in a final settlement.
Well, of course, you know, the thing is that it is just so flagrant, this hatred of Christianity. This is really what it's all about. I don't think the average Christian understands the degree of hatred on the part of the people, many of the people within our public school system, for the faith, of course, upon which our nation is founded, because America was founded as a Christian nation on at least four separate occasions. The Supreme Court has held that we were a Christian nation, and it wasn't, of course, until the lawyers were appointed by Harry Truman and FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, got, you know, into the Supreme Court, that they set out to destroy, of course, the religious foundation of America. And they've done a pretty good job of it. What can we do to take America back for Christianity and for the preservation of our liberty? Because without Christianity, there is no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty.
Well, a number of things, I think, just generally. One is to pray. You know, if people want to see God work, we need to be desperate and for God and to lift the nation up in prayer and to lift these issues up in prayer. And that's why I encourage people to pray for our cases. You know, if God doesn't go before us, our work in the court and in the courts is in vain. So I encourage people. One reason I like them to keep up with our cases and to sign up to get our press releases is to pray for our work, and that's something that's real important. Another thing is to vote. It's very important to vote and put the right people in office who will appoint the right judges to our courts, including the Supreme Court. We can't be laissez-faire about that. We have to be very responsible. And thirdly, is to live our faith and to share our faith with boldness and not to be intimidated. If people of faith are silenced, then our culture and our society will change, and more importantly, lives will change, for the worse, and people will not. You'll be able to have the liberating truth of the good news of Christ setting them free and changing their perspectives. A classic example of this was once when I was in college. I met this girl, and she was very mixed up on a lot of issues. And I discovered, though, that when she started going to church and she gave her life to Christ, all the other issues, all the other things fell right into place. And so I think in the big picture is really the willingness for people of faith to share their faith, to live their faith, and to influence our culture, and influence human lives one heart at a time.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 464-8295. And of course, Brad is on the front lines of this battle, and he's been there for, I guess, many, many years. I guess I must have known him 12 or 13 years. And time flies when you're having fun, but he certainly worked with the Rutherford Institute. Then when they closed their West Coast office, why, he opened his own office and began taking in cases and just started looking for people for help, and gradually has built a great foundation, you know, but it's not only his work, but it's all those good lawyers, and we make fun of lawyers, of course, and with some justification, but there are good lawyers out there. You just have to know who they are. And Sydney, will you actually refer people to good lawyers if it's a case that you can't take?
Oh, beg your pardon?
Will you actually give people the names of lawyers in the community if you know them, that there are honorable people?
Oh, yes. In fact, on our webpage, at pacificjustice.org, they can go there, and they put in their zip code and their area of laws they need, and then we automatically give them several, usually attorneys that have those specialties in their area, to serve them and assist them. It's a wonderful resource, and it's been very beneficial to many, many people, and we do that without charge. And also, if there's any other attorneys out there who listen to this broadcast, and you say, hey, yeah, I agree with Pacific Justice, what they stand for, go to our website as well, and there on our website you can sign up to get information and be updated with what we're doing, and also can become a part of our team. So we encourage them to do that. Go to pacificjustice.org. If you're an attorney that'd like to be become one of our affiliate attorneys, and there's many perks and benefits to being a part of our team.
And there's another thing is that if you are a church or you your church is looking for a speaker, Brad is a wonderful speaker. He comes down free of charge, and of course he'll talk to you and tell you about the problems that they face in Sacramento and Los Angeles about this attack on Christianity. It's not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And Brad's on the front line, always has interesting stories to tell, and I think it brings into focus the fact that Christianity is under attack today, and if we don't take a stand, believe me, we'd lose by default. Are you still going out and giving a fair number of talks, Brad?
Well, yeah. I'm going to be speaking at this Sunday at Creekside Christian Fellowship in Irvine, but yeah, I love to speak at churches and other places, and if people are interested, just give us a call. I don't charge for speaking, and I'd love to preach the word.
And of course, once again, give your telephone number.
You bet. It's 916-857-6900, 916-857-6900.
And of course, we've had Brad down several times to talk at our annual conference. Always an excellent speaker, always challenging speaker, and bringing into focus, of course, the very real spiritual battle in which we're involved in today, between Christianity and those opposed Christianity, who would destroy not only our faith, but our freedom. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program with Brad Dacus. Well, Brad, you've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program, then I'm going to let you go. What parting thought would you like to have for our listeners?
Well, most importantly is for the homeschoolers out there, I just want to give a special message to you, and that is to not to allow yourself to be driven by fear and throw in the towel, but to continue to homeschool. If that's what God has led you to do, do not surrender. Continue to if you have any questions or you're challenged at all in any way, contact us at the Pacific Justice Institute. You don't have to be a member of PGI. You don't have to pay us annual dues or any insurance premiums or anything like that. Our goal is to make sure that every homeschooler out there gets the protection they need, and especially those who aren't covered by some membership. So they should give us a call. And if you're a church out there needing help, give us a call. Or if a family with issues dealing with CPS, threats, or public school issues, or you're in the workplace and having problems, please don't hesitate to give us a call, because we do all our work without charge. And that's what we at the Pacific Justice are all about. And finally, be sure and go to our webpage at pacificjustice.org, pacificjustice.org, to get case updates on all our litigation, including the critical homeschool litigation, as well as you can go there to get information about our big April 19th Celebration of Justice Gala entitled Protecting the Home. And it's going to be at the Hyatt in Orange County in Irvine. We'd love to have people attend that. We have some really dynamic speakers, including Fred Barnes of the Fox News Beltway Boys, as well as Hugh Hewitt and his radio talk show. So it's going to be a fantastic program, and we'd just love to, if people are interested, we'd love to have them to attend.
Well, God bless you, Brad. Thanks for everything you do, and we look forward to having you back in the not-too-distant future. Please keep in touch with us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stanley. It's a pleasure and privilege to serve.
Bye-bye. All right. In fact, that's what Brad is really doing, is could go out in law practice and make a lot of money, but he's not interested in that. He's interested in doing the right thing, and this is why Barbara, my wife, and I support Brad. We have for a number of years, because he's doing something we can't do. But we need a force out there of righteousness in the legal profession, and I can attest to you, Brad is honest, he's dedicated, he loves the Lord, he's doing an amazing, amazing job. And we've actually accumulated a group of some 1,000 attorneys across the nation who are willing to help him it really goes, it's actually encouraging to know that there really are that many good lawyers out there, and you can find out who they are by going to Brab's website. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope, of course, you enjoyed our conversation with Brad Dacus. And I mean, if you have problems, well, you can always call. They may not be able to take your case, but at least they can give you advice, and that's what you need. And believe me, if you get into trouble with the child abuse agencies, you've got to have some sort of a idea of what you're doing, or you'll lose your family, you'll lose your children forever. And this is one of the horrible things that's going on today. Well, you never need to understand that there is organized evil in the world today. If you have not yet heard my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get it. You need to get our four-tape set or four-CD set on the secret behind the secret. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to get the DVD that goes with that. And you need to understand what we are really up against today. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll want, of course, get some of the other items that we have. We have the material on population control. There really is a plan to eliminate most of the world's population. You need to get my talk on Nundare, Call It Genocide. It's available on DVD. And then the talk on planned population reduction. The video on population control, and of course, along with that, you can get our monograph, the Population Control Agenda monograph. You can go up on our website at RadioLiberty.com or pull it down, or if you get some of the other items and you request that, the Population Control Agenda monograph, we'll send it to you free of charge. It's an excellent overview of what's going on. We've learned a lot since we wrote it. We can't put it all down. One of these days, maybe when I get a couple of months, I'll rewrite that. But it's important you know that there really are people out there who plan to kill off most of the people in the world. And you say, that's crazy, Doc. Well, it's not crazy. We're just dealing with people who have a different world view. Sydney, if you'd like to see the Georgia Guidestones, there are pictures up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com, or you can get our Sustainable Development Syllabus that has a great deal on this. On subject, and we'll tell you about the Ten Commandments there, written on this satanic monument in Elberton, Georgia, where the Satanists meet and they have their nude dancing parties and all of the evil that exudes from that area, where they're actually, people have reported that UFOs hover over this site. What would the UFOs be doing over this site? Why, it's very simply, it's a satanic site. And point number one of the Ten Commandments that comes from the dark side is to maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Now, nobody knows who put up the money for this building. Now, a man came to town. His name was R.C. Christian, but that wasn't his real name. It was a cover name. He said he represented a secret group, but nobody knows who the secret group is, and the only person who knew was the bank president. He's sworn to secrecy. Why, if there's nothing to hide, are they hiding it? Because they don't want people to know. The basic theme is a one-world government and population control and a new spirituality and of course, reproductive control. That's the basic theme there in the Georgia Guidestones, and that you can carry this over into the Earth Charter, which is simply another extension of this whole occult plan for the world. Of course, in the Earth Charter, they talk about how they're going to impoverish you, how they're going to have equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. That's point 10A of the Earth Charter. If you don't have a copy, we'll be glad to send you one. Or you can go pull it down on our website at RadioLiberty.com. But if you need a copy, we'll be glad to get it for you. If you have a computer, just type it in. You can get it. And there really is a small group of very wealthy and powerful people who want to transform society, who want to redistribute the wealth of the United States, which is why we're sending our wealth overseas, why we're not allowed to drill for oil or build nuclear power plants or certainly to build new refineries. We haven't built a new oil refinery in the United States for 30 years. Didn't happen by accident. Happened by part of a plan. Al Gore was one of the people who planned this whole thing when he met along with Prince Charles and the finance leaders of the world on the Royal Yacht back in 1991 and 1992 and laid out the plan for Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, our number 1-800-544-8927.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU Band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 207.